We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast this morning. This is Monday. I know it's Monday. I think it's September the 18th. I'm not real sure on the date. A lot of my days have run together here recently. And so we are thankful that you have tuned in. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. And I just want to say thank you to that great church. We may not have a huge number of people, but the people that are there have a huge, huge heart. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about that today. We had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. It was a very busy weekend. And what all had happened was just wonderful for the kingdom of God. The fine folks of Spartanburg, South Carolina, had gathered up a truckload of water and sent it down to our community because the water wasn't supposed to be drinkable yet. And City of Cocoa did a wonderful job getting the barrier islands back up and running. And so to a large extent, the need was averted. But what we discovered yesterday was that even though the majority of the need had disappeared, the need had not. And so the truck arrived at our property about midnight on Saturday night. I don't know about you, but I normally like to be in bed well before that because I want to be my best on Sunday morning when I'm preaching the Word of God. But instead of all of us being curled up in our bed with sugar plums dancing through our head, a number of our men and some young men in our church, we showed up at the church property and we unloaded a tractor trailer filled with 23 pallets of water that had been collected by the people of Spartanburg, South Carolina, to meet the need, make sure that people who had been impacted by the hurricane Irma had water to drink. And it took us, we had a wonderful, wonderful forklift. And one of the men in the church is a forklift operator, trained. He does other things as well, but he's equipped to do that. And it took us until almost, a little after 2 a.m, went home. It took some time to unwind, went to bed, got up, had church yesterday morning. And I was praying. I said, God, we have the provision, but I don't know what we're going to do if nobody shows up here. I mean, I was supposed to have had another truck that was delivered today. We told them we thought that truck could be better suited in other parts of the county because we were having such a difficult time distributing the water. And so the lines never formed extensively, but about 3 o'clock, we thought we were getting ready to wrap it up. And one of the men said, you know what? I'm just going to load up my truck with water and I'm just going to drive to some hard hit areas and I'm going to see if they need water. And he unloaded a truckload of water and then he came back and got another truckload. And then other people in the church said, you know what, we're going to start driving around. And so there were low-income areas that had been hit by the storm, parts of town. We went to Cocoa. We actually, once we finished last night and I was locking up, I went up and I was finally able to check the messages. And there were some messages up there. And honestly, people, I am so sorry if we were unable to get to you. I had people calling from Palm Bay, And when I got to the church this morning, there was not any water left. It was all gone. Now, there may be a little bit more water that comes in this later this week. We've got another truck of hurricane supplies this time that it is supposed to come in sometime on Wednesday. We've canceled our Wednesday night service so that we can be there to distribute what comes in. We just didn't think we needed another entire truckload of water. This one may have some water on it, but it's supposed to have other hurricane related items as well. And so I will be here for the next couple of days. If my voice sounds a little funny, it is because it's been used a lot. It's been used a lot. I told Paul here when I got to the radio station, I said, I feel like Romans chapter 12 this morning, that I have presented my body a living sacrifice. The men in our church have presented themselves a living sacrifice, and they've got to get up and go back to work this week. And just God bless you to all of the folks at Merit Assembly of God. The young people stuck around, they helped, and they had such a blast ministering to people. It was, they worked hard, but they had fun doing it. And it was just such a phenomenal weekend. So join me in saying thank you to Spartanburg, South Carolina. The Sheriff's Department was the collection agency up there. And Joe was the one who drove the supplies down. And so we're just grateful for them having a heart for us. Now, I want to say this, and then I'm going to talk just a little bit more about some of the people that we helped. And that is this. There are other hurricanes out there. There's always going to be another storm. I talked on this some last week. I think that just because the storm has passed does not mean that you are supposed to not prepare for the next crisis, because we live in a fallen world. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. There is going to be problems. There are going to be challenges and adversity, but be of good cheer. He said, I have overcome the world. You listen, if you have extra resources, you don't just go squander them. You don't just go waste them. You instead, you prepare so that you can be a blessing. Our district superintendent at one point in time was a missionary. He and his wife, they were in what used to be a very beautiful city. They were ministering to people who needed Jesus, and war broke out. And this is a publicized book. So they were in Beirut, and a war broke out. And they could not get out of the country, but it just wasn't safe. There was only a certain number of people that were getting out at I don't remember all of the details, but they were running out of food. And this is one of their first lessons in faith that he describes. Now, he'd grown up in church, but this was a life-changing message in faith. And they were starting to run out of food. And they just prayed. And a little while later, a lady called and said, can you come over and pick up some food? This is an elderly widow lady. She had received permission to get on one of the flights out of the country. And she said, I've got food that I have been storing up just in case a crisis like this happened. And so he went over to get this food. And he said, and in my mind, I'm expecting, you know, two or three bags of groceries. And when he got there, he did not find two or three bags of groceries, but he found an entire room filled with canned goods, because this lady had been instructed in her prayer time to begin to save canned goods. And the thing about it was, it ended up not being her preparation for herself, but it was preparation for others who were doing the work of the Lord. And as I told our congregation yesterday, our God is bigger than any problem. His provision is greater than the need. He is not just the God of almost enough. He is not the God of just enough. He is the God who is more than enough. And so I want to tell you that today. You serve a great, big, wonderful God. You serve a great, big, wonderful God. And so thank you again to all of the people. We saw people operating in giftings that honestly I did not fully understand that they had in their life. I was so glad to see people functioning in their giftedness, and it was just great. We had a wonderful, wonderful worship service. I told our congregation yesterday, I said, the best sermon today will not be the sermon that I preach from this pulpit. And it wasn't. I said, the best sermon that will be preached today is the sermon that we preach to this community as we are out there meeting and ministering to hurting people. So lots of people did come by. Once word got out, we finally sent people out to the highways and the byways. You know, I think when God said to go into all the world, what he meant was go into all the world. Because when we started going out and telling people to come this way, to come to the church, that then people started coming. And there was one lady, she had evacuated from the Florida Keys. She showed me her entry pass that she needs in order to get back to where she lives. She lives in Key West. She had evacuated to family, I believe it was, family or friends, here in Brevard County. It was must have been relatively close to the church, because the young lady that was in the car with her was knew one of the young girls in our ministry, our kids ministry. And so she showed us her pass. My wife, I was wondering what my wife was doing. My wife was actually flying out yesterday to minister to her mother, but she basically served right up until the very last minute. And then she said, okay, I got to go catch a flight. And so she's talking to this lady in this vehicle. And then she comes over and says, honey, this lady is from Key West. And she's got her name was Lisa. She said, and she really needs our help. And so I went over and talked to her. She had tears in her eyes. She said, the only thing that I brought with me out of Key West, everything else that I own is there. I don't know if my house is there. I don't know if my job is still there. The only thing I brought out was a beach chair, because I knew then that I would at least have something to sit on. And she said, I'm going to head back down there, and what can you do? And so we loaded her up. She didn't have kids. I said, do you think there are any kids down there or mothers with kids that need diapers? And she said, yes. And so we had a few things of diapers that came in, and we were able to pray with her before she headed down. And I tell you, when you don't know what kind of future you're facing. And she was so greatly appreciative of everything that was done. And so we're so excited. Now, we didn't get to leave. My daughter put something on there. Hey, we're leaving at 3. She posted on Facebook. You can kind of see a video diary and a Facebook diary on Merit Assembly of God's homepage. We're leaving at 3. Well, we didn't leave at 3. We tried to leave at 4. We couldn't leave at 4. We tried to leave at 5. We couldn't leave at 5. we were actually in our vehicle to leave right around 6 o'clock, and a mother comes around the corner holding a baby, and she said, you know, do you have any diapers left? And we didn't, we honestly didn't have any diapers. But what we did have were some baby wipes, and she said that will be a blessing. And so we were able to at least minister to her need. We got back in the vehicle, and another person pulled up and said, hey, I've got some people in my neighborhood that don't have water. This is a person that we've known, and we loaded him up, and then we made one more phone call to a lady in the church. She said, I just found another need to meet. I'm on my way back to get some more water to take it and meet this need. And folks, just you're listening to a pastor today who is proud of the servant's heart that his congregation had. Here's the message that I preached yesterday. And that is this: if you want to pursue kingdom greatness, you pursue it with the heart of a servant. That was the message I was going to preach before the hurricane. If you want to pursue kingdom greatness, you pursue it with the heart of a servant. You see, in Luke chapter 22, Jesus was talking to the disciples who were having an argument. I think there's way too much arguing and debating that goes on in the body of Christ, and there needs to be a whole lot more serving in the body of Christ. I think that if we would have the heart of a servant, if we would serve, the service would take care of the arguments. You see, because there were people that showed up yesterday that I didn't even speak the same language they did. We had people in our church that are very fluent in Spanish, and they were able to communicate with them, and that was a great blessing. We had people who aren't even Christian. Okay, now I'm not talking they're not Assembly of God. I'm not talking that they don't believe the Word of God the way that we do. Okay. And we ministered to them as well. We had people who I'm sure have some substance abuse problems. We weren't there to diagnose, you know, what their what the background they came from. We were just there to serve. And that serving, he said, instead of arguing, let me give you an example of why people argue. In Luke chapter 22, I'm in Matthew 22. Hold on, let me get over here to Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22, he says, the people of this world argue. They want to be in authority. Luke chapter 22, verse number 24, he says, now therefore, there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. Authority and leadership, greatness in as far as this world is concerned, is about exercising authority so that others will serve you. But kingdom greatness, the kingdom of God greatness, is not about having others being able to serve you. But Jesus said, I came as an example. I came not to be served, but to serve. And he said, if you want to be great in the kingdom, you have to have the heart of a servant. Now, in Mark chapter 9, it talks about if any desires to be first, you and I, we have got to allow God to birth in us a longing to serve. You don't have to teach a child to be selfish. You have to literally train them. I'm going to throw a dirty word out there. You have to disciple them on how not to be selfish, but to be a servant. Okay. So that desire to be great, it cannot be carnal greatness. I don't want to be the greatest football player of all time. I don't even want to be the greatest radio person of all time. I just want to be a servant that serves the way that God wants me to serve, and I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I am looking for. Now, when in areas that I do serve in. I want to do it with excellence. I want to strive to be great at it. I don't just want to throw at it like throwing paint on a wall and hoping that it sticks. I want to do it under the will of God, the command of God. I want to serve with excellence, but I want to be, I've got to have a heart to be that. If you don't have to have a heart to serve, then you are going to settle for less than what God has for you. The most fulfilling aspects of life will be when you serve in accordance with the will of God. So kingdom authority is about serving with authority, because all authority belongs to Jesus. You are serving and using the authority that God has given you to serve others for the glory of God. And that's the very, very real thing. Greatest in this passage, it means to be the elder or to be the greater. And in that society, the oldest person received a double portion. The oldest child received a double portion. They got the higher seats. There was that. But this servant mindset is a person whose purpose in life is to run errands. This is the meaning of the word servant that is used in Matthew 18, Luke 22, and Mark chapter 9. It is a person that runs errands or serves as a waiter. Okay. Last night after we got done serving, I told my daughters, I said, because my wife had flown out to visit her mother, and I said, none of us are cooking tonight. One of my daughters had been up until 2 a.m, and then she took her mom to the airport yesterday while I continued to serve. Another one stayed and served all day. We showed up at church at 8:30, and we didn't walk in the door until after 6 o'clock. They served, and I said, none of us are cooking tonight. And so I said, where do you want to go eat? And they told me where we went. And we had a wonderful waitress. We went to Chili's, and we had a waitress, been there a long time. I couldn't tell you what her name was. I was, we were all a bit loopy from the fatigue last night, but she did a wonderful, wonderful job. I've had some waiters and waitresses that weren't necessarily all that great at their job, but this one was phenomenal. Matthew chapter 18 is the Matthew's account of this. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that, because when Jesus heard that they were arguing instead of serving, he thought that he would give them an example. It says in verse number 1 of Matthew chapter 18, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. So here are these disciples, these followers of Jesus are, they're arguing, and Jesus just points out a little boy in the crowd, and he says, come here. He literally calls that young man to himself. And today I want you to know that Jesus is pointing his finger to you. No one may ever know our name. Merit Assembly of God is not the largest church in town. We're not in competition with the largest church in town. What we are in competition with is drug dealers and alcohol distribution centers. We're in competition with everything, sexual immorality, all of that sort of stuff that is going to destroy people's lives. That's our competition. Everybody else is on the same team that is promoting the kingdom of God. If you're a Bible preaching church, we're on the same team. If you believe that Jesus is the only way to the Father, we're on the same team. So I don't really have time to argue too much, but there's plenty of opportunity to serve. And so Jesus, while they're arguing, he calls this little boy over, and the boy responds. So today, I encourage you, respond to the Savior's invitation to come to him. As a believer, the first responsibility that we have is to spend time with Jesus. I encourage you to do that. So when he called, don't look. I literally had a person that told me this one time, said if I see somebody's name on the caller ID and I don't want to talk to them, I just don't answer it. And my name had been one of those names on the caller ID. And it's like, oh, well, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Today, Jesus is calling. He wants you to worship him. He wants you to be his child. He wants you to serve him. And I encourage you to answer. And then Jesus took that child and he set him in the midst of that group of people. And he began to use him as a living example. Today, I want you to know that where God has divinely placed you is no mistake. He has placed you there as a vessel in which you and I can display the glorious transforming power of Jesus Christ. If you and I refuse to change, Jesus said, you are not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay? Salvation is not a prayer that you pray. Salvation is a life change that Jesus manifests in those who believe. Today, I want you as you're praying to ask yourself, God, is there anything in me that needs to change? Now, when Jesus said he wanted us to become like little children, that doesn't mean that he wants us to throw ourselves on the floor and throw a temper tantrum until we get what we want. That's I tried to demonstrate that yesterday as I preached, and I just about blew my vocal cords out because my vocal cords aren't used to throwing temper tantrums. One more thing about this little boy. It says, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You and I, we have got to be able to humble ourselves and say, God, use me however you need to use me. Jesus said, I am among you as the one who serves. I pray that you never get so full of yourself that you cannot humble yourself to serve in whatever capacity. I heard a pastor one time, he said, I had a guest speaker that was coming to my church and there was a horrific storm outside and a greeter greeted me in the parking lot and had a wonderful conversation with me. He kept the umbrella over me while he himself was getting wet. And he said, I just want to commend you for that person's ministry. And he said, do you know what that person does for a living? He said, no, I have no idea. He said, he's one of the leading neurosurgeons in the state, but he had a heart to serve. Today, I guarantee you that if we open up our eyes, that God will point out to us a need, not that we can complain about, but a need that we can serve with the power of the Holy Spirit to bring about change in someone's life. May all of us pursue greatness today in the kingdom of heaven with the heart of a servant. Father, today, right now, in Jesus' name, we answer your call. Your call to be your child, the call to worship you. Lord, place us where you want us. Lead our footsteps today. And God, may we serve you for the glory of Jesus Christ. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Lord, I
wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless, and I so long to sing you the song.